Sure. Who doesn't love working at Brookstone? Thank you very much to... Thank you very much. Oh, I like having the audience here. Thank you very much to Deidre for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. Woo! You are... Shut up! Yeah! Okay, I got to do this real quick. Actually, if y'all could be quiet for 2 seconds, I need to test one thing. Boop. Boop. Good. Okay, you are listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin. Thank you very much, like I said, to Deidre for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. Bye! Into the microphone. Professional. The Mascot Wedding Show is coming up right after... Share. We'll be back. All right, everybody. The time. I'm too hot. Hold on. Too hot. Hey, who doesn't love hearing a show start that way? The time is 6:05 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP, Hornsby Austin, 90.7 on your FM dialer online worldwide at KOOP.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show. Radios are of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta, and this is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's show, you may. The phone number is 472-5667. That's the Dana line, 472-KOOP. The opinions expressed on the show are those of the person who said it, and nobody else. Got a headphone problem. How much money did I raise for this rundown piece of junk? Hey, everybody, we just heard Share. That was Dark Lady. That was it was originally a single. I took that off the 20th Century Masters album, though. It's good stuff. And here to make fun of me about it are microphone 4. Say hello.
Hello.
And then microphone 5.
Yes.
Say hello. We got a big show. Yeah, yeah. As you noticed, Mac Blake is on assignment. He is not here. So in keeping with recent tradition of not doing terrible shows where we do it all by ourselves and you listen to the slow descent into madness of one person alone in a studio, not unlike that movie Talk Radio where someone will be waiting to kill us afterwards, I brought in guests. Sitting in microphone 4. You know him from Stag Comedy. You know him from Master Pancake Theater. And speaking of Master Pancake Theater, he will be doing 2 weekends of shows spoofing the movie Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Please welcome Joe Parsons to the show.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Joe Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Is this your first time in studio?
No, I've been here before.
Well, I'm sure.
That's awkward.
I'm sure it was very memorable.
Yes.
I'm sure I loved it.
I'm sure you did.
You're drunk most of the time, though, dude.
So. Yeah, that's going to happen. And sitting in microphone 5, you know him from his appearances on the show. You also know him from Stag Comedy. You also know him from his band Ghostword, who just released their album, Come Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah! Boo! Please welcome Andrew Rosas.
Hello. Yes.
I see. So you remember.
Thank you.
Those details about other people. I see how it is. That's okay.
No, it's not that. It's just I find you terrifically boring.
No, it's cool.
So I wouldn't know if you were in the room right now. I wouldn't know that.
Well, you have memory problems.
I do.
Just choking yourself to...
I made a cardboard cutout of Joe, and David didn't recognize it the whole last stag meeting we had.
It's true.
Well, I thought Joe contributed a lot that week. Gentlemen, how are you both?
Stupendous.
Great. Fantastic. Doing really well.
Good. Enjoying your Saturday?
It's been a good day.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
I'm glad you asked. How am I? oh, I miss you so much, Mac.
Seriously.
Microphone 2 is empty right now.
It's a cold seat.
You guys know this because you have been dealing with this all day.
Sure. That's why I didn't want to bring it up.
But no. I think disclosure is what keeps me so beloved with our listeners, with the Mascot Army. I am in a real bad way right now. I am. I don't remember the last time I've been this hungover. And
top fiver.
I'm going to say top tenner, but the fact that it's been so long that I've been hungover is that skews the feeling of
the
it.
Polls. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I made the mistake, and I don't like talking about like.
Hey, I got so.
Yeah. Exactly. Like that used to drive me nuts when people did it in high school. But then that became like my personality. Like I had nothing else charming about me except how much I could ingest.
Well,
thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Spuds McKenzie.
Ingest.
Yes, like Spuds McKenzie.
That's you.
I just run around with a Hawaiian shirt and I have a
two hot babes.
A black eye. And
how's that?
A black eye? And also my manservant Jerome follows me around. Oh boy, and we're off. We the three of us had a bad movie night, as we like to do from time to time. And on my way to the undisclosed location where we had this meeting, to that cave in the side of the mountain.
Yeah,
I decided, hey, you know what? I'm not going to get drunk tonight. I know what I'll do. I'll just kick back and drink a bottle of wine. So I bought a bottle of wine.
Too close for missiles, switching to guns.
Exactly. It made total sense in my head. But what didn't make sense is how delicious wine is. And
I would like to out you for a moment, too.
Here we go. Well, this can't lose.
Yeah. Which is just that when the wine did come out, I was like, yeah, well, glass of wine. This sounds great. You thrice refused a wine glass and insisted on drinking a bottle of wine out of a pint glass.
Well, I knew who I was.
It is your problem.
Look, I'm not looking for a postmortem on the evening. I know how I got to where I got.
I thought we were kicking the hurt man while he was on the ground.
Oh, no, that was earlier today when I was on the ground.
Literally on the ground.
Saying the most vile stuff ever. But yeah, I finished the bottle of wine. And then Joe made the mistake of offering me a second bottle of wine. Or at least, you didn't even offer. You pointed out where they were.
I think the exact conversation went, hey, you got some more wine? Yeah, I sure do. Didn't point. Is it over here? Yeah, it's over here. Over the cabinet. I'm taking this.
And I think the conversation went something like, David, put the knife down. Yes, there's more wine.
I finished that second bottle. And then we had a great time, by the way. Had a really fun time. We watched The Jackal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
With the Bruce Willis, Richard Gere movie where they're both the two greatest assassins in the world, but they never assassinate anyone in that movie.
The movie has a body count of two.
One and a half.
That's true.
Yeah. It's not even,
Jack Black is the one.
Oh, that's right. I guess he does.
Well, somebody does die at the end. I won't tell. I won't say who.
Oh, no.
The answer will bore you. So we watched that, and then we watched a movie. I don't even... Okay, it's called Gooby.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember how we found out about Gooby?
Well, I had seen the trailer online, I think, a year ago.
Okay.
Because it made this... I'd seen it on a thing. It's like, this looks like the worst movie ever created.
Yeah.
But it's a story of a little boy whose teddy bear comes to life.
A little boy, not... he's 11. Probably like 11 or 12.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's not like 4, 5, or 6.
He's entering middle school.
He's not at like a magical age when things are like, you know, oh, so it's like it's not for like little kids. He's like borderlining puberty.
Yeah, good point.
Now.
Plus, you know, he did, of course, so he comes to life because the boy moves to a new house and he's feeling lonely.
Mm-hmm.
His teddy bear comes to life. But it's not like it's his favorite teddy bear. He abandoned this teddy bear on purpose. Because he had outgrown it.
Right, exactly. He left it at the house they were leaving.
Oh, God. It was one part Calvin and Hobbes, one part E.T., and another part Splash with Eugene Levy chasing him around trying to disprove the existence of living teddy bears.
No, but it was also one part Donnie Darko, because early on in the movie, they established that this kid has, like, flights of fancy, and he is prone to seeing...
Visions.
Nightmarish
like
visions.
Like hallucinations.
Yeah, exactly. Like, odd, like, plant creatures or something.
Yeah, two-headed bird monsters.
Yeah, that kid needs to be on medication. On, like, adult.
Like, seriously? Like, lithium?
Yes. Something quite serious.
Yeah.
Like, if this kid is having these sort of visions that play out in the movie...
Yes.
Something needs to be done.
Yeah. And so, but then, you know, we meet Gooby, this bear, who has come to life and is this full-grown, like, 6'5" man in a bear suit with, like, the most nightmarish bear face.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it wasn't even, like, a cute teddy bear face. It was like man bear.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He was like Fozzie Bear at, like, age 57.
If Fozzie Bear was involved in head-on collision. and they managed to resuscitate him.
I think we were trying to figure out who he most looked like in terms of human form. And my guess was Peter Boyle.
He does look like Peter Boyle a little bit. Yeah, for sure. A little.
So, but yeah, this movie.
I pointed at Bobby Moynihan.
Yes.
Because it kind of looks a little bit like Bobby Moynihan.
Yes, I believe the correct term was Bobby Moynihan having sex with Chewbacca.
I think it's the, yes.
I would have said Babe Ruth plus Fozzie Bear.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Totally.
Yeah,
there it is. So Gooby, everybody.
Gooby. The listening audience can use their imaginations. That's what's hilarious, though, about this movie, though, is with regard to the kid, like, seeing these visions, is that they're, like, you know, if when little kids say, like, oh, I saw this wonderful creature, it's like, oh, that's cute, it's using your imagination. But there comes a point where, like, if you tell someone, yeah, I saw this wonderful creature running out in the woods, it's like, okay. Like, where's the age cutoff when, like, your imagination, like, seeing things in your imagination is not okay anymore?
Yeah, totally.
And this kid is definitely on the other side of that. So, and all his parents are just like, that kid's wacky imagination. Not like, he's like 11 and seeing like visions, well, like, but, that he believes exist.
But I think it's even worse than that, because I would even say a twist ending, even though it's not played that way, is that Gooby is actually real. He is not a vision.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And it's because the end of the movie, people see him.
Yes, at the end of the movie, he comes out and he's like, oh, hey, Billy's dad, I'm Gooby. And then Gooby, like, is a member of the family. They take him to the store with them. Like, everyone can see him. He is an actual living teddy bear.
And everyone is okay with this. Like, he's hanging out in the hardware store like, hey, dad, I found some lumber or whatever. And everybody's fine with it. Nobody's like tranking him or like throwing those old timey nets over him.
It's like Mac and Me.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, like, they have no problem with these creatures existing. It's just like, well, makes sense to me. It's just like
your impression of him sounded like he had a cleft palate.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, dad. That's all. That's a lover, dad.
Listen, everybody.
Listen.
I believe Humpty Hump was in that. was in the costume.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, so Gooby. That was our...
that was a treat.
But for those of you who have just tuned in or were paying attention to that whole story, David had a lot of wine.
Oh, I sure did.
Oh, yes.
But it wasn't even the wine that did me in. So we wrapped up around 2 o'clock.
Like, 3.
No, it wasn't 3?
Yeah, it was 3 o'clock.
Wow. Oh, yeah, it was 3.
That's awesome. Good work, Joe. Because you don't stay up very late.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I made it. Yay.
So, yeah, okay. That makes more sense.
He was, like, burning himself with a lighter on his leg just the whole time just to stay awake.
Making crescent moons with his fingernail onto his skin. Just let me stay up. So, yeah, so we got done at 3. I go home and play a little game called Let's Keep the Fun Going.
America's favorite game.
America's most regrettable game. That's America's darkest hour. That's, like, Berlin Olympics bad. So
it's our Omaha Beach. Well, the other one.
So I go home and I'm like, hey, I'm feeling good. I want to keep this going. And Heavy Metal is on Turner Classics, which is a dumb movie. I don't even know why I was watching that stupid thing. That junk.
Low rent piece of trash.
So I started drinking more, but I didn't have anything else except for whiskey. So I followed 2 bottles of wine with some whiskey at 3 in the morning. Did not go to bed till 5. Had a very fun time reading text messages this morning. And now I'm in a really terrible way right now.
Dear Mr. President.
I was writing to President First Lady Fitness. Dear Mr. President, why aren't you open anymore? I need to blast my quads. Shut up. You will so-and-so. So that's my day.
Man, that's see, to me, the wine, whiskey, that's just like, that's a rookie mistake. Like, that's just
oh, totally.
Like,
I cop to it 100%. Yes.
Just like, this feels right. Later at the hospital.
Well, but it's funny because there was a time in my life when I could do that.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And I had, you know, when you're in that moment and when you do want to keep it going, you're reverted back to that time.
Sure.
And you think you could pull it off again. But, like, I'm about to be 32 in a couple months. Like, I can't process things the way I used to process things.
That's what blows me away when you watch, like, old movies or even recently, like, watching Mad Men. But even old movies, like, those guys are pounding whiskey all day.
Yeah.
They drink a bottle of whiskey a day.
Yeah.
Well, I have to think that... If you do drink a bottle of whiskey a day, mm-hmm. since your 20s, and literally do that all day, that becomes part of your lifestyle, your body sort of maybe gets used to it. Like, that was like a thing.
It's,
like,
yeah. But it's under no circumstances healthy for you.
Oh, it's awful. No. Yeah.
You could certainly adapt to where you won't be completely destroyed by it in a drunk way.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, that's, yes, you will be destroyed by it eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with
cirrhosis.
You know, when you see someone try and detox after years of drinking,
oh, man.
Their body is so accustomed to having it in its life that when you remove that from the equation, yeah, their body breaks down.
Yeah.
They don't know how to handle a life without that alcohol.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is I should just drink more.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe and Andrew.
The only way out is through, David. We've said this.
Yes. Oh, geez. Let's talk about you guys for a second. So, Joe, you are, as I mentioned at the top of the show, you are back with Master Pancake Theater for this two-weekend run.
Yes.
And you were doing which movie?
Halloween.
Which Halloween?
The original John Carpenter masterpiece.
Oh, JC. Now, why not Rob...
Is it Wes Craven?
No, it's John Carpenter.
It's John Carpenter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always confuse those two.
Why not the Rob Zombie version?
Classic.
Gosh, where to begin?
Sacred ground? I don't know. What do you want to... Yeah.
It's so good. It's got Jamie Lee Curtis and Donald Pleasance in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so fantastic. Donald Pleasance in those movies just steals the show with how... I don't know. He's so wacky and inept the entire time. Like, he's the expert, which is my favorite stock character from any horror movie, is you know, the expert on the monster.
the killer expert. Yes.
But he's totally inept. He does absolutely nothing.
Right. In the supernatural ones, that's always like a priest.
Uh-huh.
It's like a priest that like specializes in the occult, and they have to bring him in, and he always dies.
Yes. Experts in horror movies always dies, which is my favorite part about it. But Donald Pleasance is great because... He spends the entire film trying to find Michael Myers and only manages to actually find him at the end. Spoiler alert.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
Jeez.
Yeah, I spoiled it. I spoiled it good.
But, I mean, do you not... I mean, do you like Halloween? Do you like that...
That one's pretty good.
Movie? Yeah.
Yeah, Halloween and Halloween 2 are pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I completely agree.
Those are pretty good. I think after that, they get a little wacky.
Uh-huh.
After they kind of, I guess, establish that whole... genre,
yeah.
Or that, you know, there's a formula for, you know, all those movies that were kind of all started around the same time, but yeah,
so like Friday awesome. the 13th, Halloween,
Phantasm, and Chainsaw,
the whole whatever, teenagers having sex,
ew, gross, right? Make mine the Bible. Stupid.
I just don't. That's a part of it. I guess I'm not a lover of horror movies.
Okay.
I like good ones.
Nah, not me. I love terrible ones. Everyone loves good horror movies.
You might be surprised.
Okay.
Some people love all horror movies.
That's true. That's very
And there's
true.
A lot of terrible ones.
The worst. Some of the worst.
Yeah, exactly. So there's only really a handful. I guess what I kind of don't like about it is just the fact that they are so formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
But I like horror movies where there, you know, things happen that are unexpected.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, at least during the 80s, that was rare.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Rob Zombie remake?
Of Halloween?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
Really?
That is... here's my most backhanded compliment. That is his best movie. By far.
But I'll buy that.
It's so terrible, but it has one of my favorite moments in any movie ever. So Malcolm McDowell is Loomis in this version. And he goes, like, it's the end of the movie, and he goes to rescue Laurie Strode of this version. And he gets her out of the house. Michael Myers is still in there. He may be dead. He may or may not be dead. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. As is all those movies.
Right, exactly.
He may or may not be dead.
So they get in the car, they're getting ready to drive away, and she has the line, you know, was that the boogeyman? Yes, it was. Michael Myers bursts through the passenger side window of the car and starts trying to drag Laurie Strode out. And Malcolm McDowell, amidst all this chaos, you just hear him go, Michael, what the hell? It was... so great.
I do remember that. Like, he's so put out by it. He's so annoyed. Like, it's that reaction just like, oh, not again.
It's like the most Fred Mertz response. Like, of course sake. So I guess what I'm saying
like,
is,
what
Jeepers
hell?
H crackers, what are you doing?
Again with this.
What the hell? I do remember that.
Just Mac, what the hell? And it's coming from Malcolm McDowell too. So it's, you know, this you know, respected actor, that sort of thing, just completely delivering the lousiest line.
It does sound like it's ADR'd too.
Oh, it absolutely does. Yes, it absolutely does. It's like, this scene needs something. Let's throw in Malcolm McDowell so I can put a pawn.
Just love the idea of them like, well, Michael, we've got to bring you back in and do some additional dialogue recording.
On the phone, he said, what the hell? Actually, tell you what.
Print it.
Were we rolling on that one? Yes, we were. We roll on every phone conversation.
So here's a question.
Yes.
Would you consider Malcolm McDowell to be has-been?
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I think he just is where he is in his career. I mean, I never thought he had like... Well, I mean, I guess that's incorrect to say. But no, he's always struck me as like a character actor who just happened to get very iconic leading roles,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense.
I think it does. And I wouldn't call him a has-been, but I think he's... I mean, he does a lot of like guest appearances on TV shows now mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. But I think that's kind of the difference. That's what made Donald Pleasance's presence.
Sure.
So good.
Yeah, seal of approval.
So good in that first Halloween movie is that... He was a has-been, but he was a huge star. Like, mm-hmm. he had been a huge star. And so they landed Donald Pleasance for this, you know, upstart horror movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, not that Malcolm McDowell's not great and all, but it kind of would have been nice to see them just kind of pluck somebody from, you know, has-been.
Peter O'Toole?
Yeah, like...
the retirement home of...
Peter O'Toole.
Hollywood retirement home.
Michael, what the hell?
That was Troy. Did you guys see Troy?
No.
No.
I never
yeah,
did.
Peter O'Toole is in that.
Oh,
he's
yeah?
a million years old.
He's he's rough stuff right now.
Yeah, he's not in good shape.
No,
it's like Douglas.
Douglas.
Kurt.
Douglas MacArthur?
No.
Kirk.
Douglas Kirk, yeah. My plumber.
Yeah, Doug
Kirk. He's in a bad way.
No, Kirk Douglas. Yeah, he's in rough shape. Mm-hmm. I remember earlier this year when he did that bit on the Oscars.
Yeah.
And it was so painful because they were making a point of like almost using his stroke and his condition.
His like senility. Like,
yeah, exactly. They were using it as a punchline.
He was doing that?
Oh, he totally was.
He was the one milking it. They were just had him read some, you know, and now the next presenter will be this blah, blah, blah.
I think he certainly had fun with it, but it wasn't fun for me as the viewer.
No.
Because it
was charming, but in a kind of, that's nice.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, everyone let out a collective,
Because as Kirk Douglas said, the key to comedy, timing. but yeah, so you're doing Pancake, and that is the next two weekends, correct?
Correct.
And that's
Friday and Saturday night, 7 and 10. Yeah, it'll be me, John Erler, mm-hmm. and Mary Jo Peel of Mystery Science Theater fame.
That's awesome.
So great.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing those both weekends are at the Ritz?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. And for more information, they can go to drafthouse.com.
Yes.
And navigate their way through the most unwieldy website in the world.
Yeah, I don't like the new website.
Hey, you don't have to badmouth your employer. Let's be classy about it, please.
It works fine.
It and, certainly has pages.
And I'm definitely used to the... yeah. I'm just
you
very
can say
familiar.
One thing about it. It's definitely online.
I'm just very familiar with the old format. But one thing I think if I was going to... Since I've already dug my grave here.
Uh-huh.
It took away the photos of upcoming shows and promotions and all this really cool art and poster art and stuff that they used to have. And they've replaced it with photos of pizza.
Uh-huh.
And pictures of the outsides of the buildings of the various Alamos that are in strip malls across the country. It's like, that just, I don't know, that doesn't seem as appealing to me
anymore.
Well,
it's really throwing the, you know, charm and appeal that these places have garnered right under the bus.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, great pictures of buildings and food?
Mm-hmm.
That's every website for anything ever that has food or has a place.
Oh, totally, but, yeah. There's nothing... Unique. I mean, as far as... Because the Draft House is very unique. It's it's great. I'll say it. I don't care. Come get me. But but yeah, the website just completely... Oh, no. The website just completely removes that from the equation. And it just becomes movies and pizza.
Yeah. And that's... I feel like that's the direction they're going in. And they are. You're absolutely right. It's more than movies and pizza.
Yeah.
I think those of us who love the Alamo, like we do, because I adore the Alamo.
Oh, sure.
Know
sure.
that it's so much more than just movies and pizza, mm-hmm. but that's what the website tells you what it is. So
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh well.
But that's where your information is.
Well,
for Master Mike King.
And oh, what's this, Justin? Halloween will be my last show at the Alamo Draft House.
Hold on, I'm getting an update. I will be doing Halloween.
Oh,
you are out. Oh. It's weird how we get updates.
Give me the ball, Joe.
Speaking of updates, let me check the Twitter wall. See if anybody's responding. Yeah, we're at Mascot Wedding if you want to reply to us on Twitter. We also have the phone lines open, 472-5667. Regular Karate says, remember, David, red after brown, it's party town. Brown after red, soon you'll be dead. Thanks.
Words to live by.
He's
words to
a real peach.
That applies to so many things besides liquor.
Hey, we don't have to talk about that right now. Let's take a break.
All right.
I want to get the callers involved, and I also want to play a little game with
Ooh.
Joe
oh.
that Andrew and I started playing the other day and said, hey, save this for the show.
Okay.
So let's see what we're going to do
intrigued.
Here. I know. It's the most exciting thing in the world. But we're going to go with, man, look at me. I'm shaking. We're going to go with the Bell Brigade. This is Losers, right? Yes, more Mascot Wedding Show after this.
There will always be someone better than you. Even if you're the best. So let's stop the competition.
And we're back with more Mascot Wedding Show. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake.
Mac Blake's on assignment, but sitting in we have Joe Parsons.
Yo.
And Andrew Rosas.
Right here.
And we just heard the Bell Brigade. That was Losers. I forget the name of their album because I got that off the single, but their album is out now. And about half of it sounds like that. The other half, not so great. But try it if you must.
I'm impressed. It was just enough time for you to do your dialysis. I know that you had been planning on doing to alleviate your hangover.
Yeah. Man, I wish.
That transfusion. All right.
I'm going
to the source.
I made the mistake of putting more wine in me. Oh, no.
Oh, that was a box of Franzia, not blood.
That wasn't a dialysis machine. Oh, nuts. Speaking of hangovers, at Mascot Wedding is the Twitter handle. And BohonkUs13 chimes in saying, me powerful hungover too. Thanks. Thanks, World War Hulk.
Seriously. Maybe those purple shorts are too tight. I mean, you need to loosen this thing.
Yeah, so that's us at Mascot Wedding. You writes it, I reads it. And the Dana line is open, 472-5667. Joe Parsons, I want to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
We were talking on the way here about how we just don't seem to have enough time these days.
It's true.
We go to work 5 days a week.
Yes.
Now
I know
what's
coming.
Now?
I know what's coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
We go to work 5 days a week, and then we have our meetings and rehearsals and practices and just other stuff.
I know where you're going with this.
Okay.
Cryogenics.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't care. I don't care about crying, whatever. No, I was having the same conversation with Andrew a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I said to Andrew, I just want time. Like, if I had some money, I would just take time off work. Like, if someone gave me $100,000.
Yeah.
I would take a couple years off work.
Okay.
Because that would give me time to like write or plan other things or, you know, sort of hit the reset button on my life and then move forward.
Yes.
And by the time that money...
Live some life, experience some things.
Exactly, yeah. And by the time that money runs out, I'm ready for the next chapter, whatever that is.
I've
or go back to work,
I've given this a lot of thought, actually.
Totally, yeah. But then it came to the question of where that $100,000 is coming from. And I threw this out at Andrew.
Yes, I want to make it very clear that I did not in any ways be like,
here's what you just do.
Hey, David. I've got a proposal for you.
No, this was completely of my own volition. This was born in my head, and nobody else helped me.
Okay.
I said for $100,000, I would let someone break both of my legs.
Hmm.
Joe Parsons, would you let someone break both your legs for $100,000?
Where are the legs broken?
Excellent question. It's going to be below the knee. So they're not broken at the knee. That would be so much more money if they were to do that.
Hmm. Will I ever walk again?
Oh, totally. Yeah, they're just broken. They're just broken legs.
They just got to set them, put you in a cast, you're in a wheelchair for a while.
Yeah, you're in a wheelchair.
Then you're on some crutches, and then you're up and around.
Does the $100,000 at all go towards my medical expenses?
No. See, I thought about that, too. Like, when I got home, I was like, this isn't going to be some weird Twilight Zone thing. Where it's like, oh, you have no insurance. No, no, no. It's tax-free, cash money in your hand. Everything's taken care of.
$100,000.
Broken legs, $100,000, and you're Hitler.
It's the end of the war.
It's the end of the war.
Man. $100,000, too. It's right at that amount.
It totally is.
Almost.
Oh, I went Vegas on this one. I went over under. That's the perfect number to have.
It really is.
Yeah.
I would say, do they have to be broken at the same time?
Yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Misery style.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that was another thing. Because then we started talking about how, like, if you had to break your own legs for $100,000.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could break my own legs.
I couldn't break my own legs.
I still could, but it would have to take some. Because my worry is, if I just swung, like, a sledgehammer down at my legs, my worry is that I would break them at the knee. Yeah. So if there was a way I could put my legs in like a vice and just aim for my shin and break, I totally would. I totally would.
This is morbid.
Here's where it took a turn for the no thanks. This chucklehead over here was like, I don't even know how he got on it, but how much would it take for you to get shot?
Where am I shot?
Excellent. You pick.
Well, because I said I would rather be shot than break my own legs. I think I still stand by that.
I couldn't break my own legs. I can tell you that right now. I don't need $100,000 that bad.
Okay.
Like in the shoulder?
If it was accidental and it was like just the result, like if I just, let's say it was a car wreck and I broke both my legs and as a result I got $100,000, I think in the end I'd be like, you know what, this was a oddly positive experience.
Really learned a lot from this.
Yes, exactly. I think the answer, regrettably, would be yes.
Uh-huh.
I would take that deal. I'd take $100,000 for two broken legs.
Okay.
That's a weird thing to say. It was really funny because we were talking about it. I was like, I don't know if I want either that bad. Like, seriously.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
100 grand? Like, that's 2 years. That's 2 years off work.
Yeah.
That I can just write. That I can just, you know, produce stuff.
You know, and so, like I said, I've given this a lot of thought. And I'm of the opinion.
Hey, David, how'd you get that $100,000? Well, you see, I broke my own leg. Where are you going?
Hey, God, I can't catch up with you.
Icky.
Quit walking uphill.
Hey, come on, guys. You know I can't do that.
Stairs are my
crippling. Yeah, I would say, and I'm of the opinion that if you had, especially if you want to take your life money, right? To get your...
Yes.
If you're going to just get random influx of cash that you can take time off to be creative and do all that kind of stuff, I am of the opinion that you would actually make more money doing what you were just like, okay, I'm taking 2 years off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just write. I'm going to create. I'm going to do whatever it is that I've always wanted to do and I've never had the time or energy to do it.
Right.
And you just did it,
you'd
actually have more money at the end of that process than you would if you tried to just kind of keep an even keel going through it.
No, I completely agree. Yeah, that's why I would want
to. Being shot,
uh-huh.
I feel like I could be shot in the calf.
In the calf?
Yep. I'd take it in the calf.
But then you risk doing serious damage. Like, you might never walk right again.
And how much did we say the shooting was? Was that also 100,000?
What did we set that at? That was a quarter mil.
Quarter mil was being shot.
Easily.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
See, and I also specified small caliber.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 22 caliber, burns fast and hot. Probably would just go straight through you. Probably
22 wouldn't. Caliber. I know people who have been accidentally shot by 22 caliber bullets. It's like a BB gun. It's nothing.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Well, bring them out.
God. Wow, that is a lot of people I have shot. Wow. How did you fit them all in here?
This is your life.
Is that what that charter bus was for outside?
It sure was. Yeah.
Oh my God.
The 22 caliber express. Well, good to know. Good to know that.
Yeah, it's kind of a dark, weird thing that I just admitted to everybody.
No, no, it's not. I don't think so.
Good to know, Joe.
Well, you know, it's like I really do. I'm just now starting to get some time back, but for a long time, I had two careers that kept me busy, two full time jobs that I was working, and it was really hard to have a life outside of that, and it was hard to do anything that I wanted to do in addition to that. So I had I had two careers, and if I wanted to do a hobby or another project or something that took up any time, it was darn near impossible.
Did you have a wife at this time?
I did a lot of this like before I had a wife, and then like while we were dating, and then like first year of marriage, I was just busy all the time. And let me tell you, as much as I hate being busy, she really hates it when I'm busy.
Well, I can't imagine why. this person you chose to spend the rest of your life with, how could they possibly hate it when you're
that dope who loves you? What's her dumb deal?
Yeah, so if I had time to just like, I don't know, just like build a deck onto my house or something, I think it'd be awesome.
Totally, I agree. I agree 100%. We don't have to talk about that anymore. That's fine. That was my Halloween portion of the show.
Spooky.
But the bullet is cursed.
Wait, it's still a bullet. I don't care. I don't care if it's cursed.
But it's a small caliber. That's good.
I was trying to pull something up on my computer, but I couldn't. Our friend Ashley pointed me in the direction of... There's a thing called the Crypt Keeper Wrap.
Oh, no.
What?
It was... Yeah. Tales from the Crypt released a soundtrack album in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the bonus tracks on it was the Crypt Keeper rapping.
Sure. Oh, man. Yeah.
And this is... Of course. This is online, and I couldn't pull it up because this thing's acting stupid.
What's the over under on how many puns he uses in this room?
I would venture a guess that it's 100% puns.
No, it's not.
No,
it's really mostly like, how do I describe it? It's the Crypt Keeper talking about how like he's the baddest man in the afterlife, that kind of thing. It's like,
oh no,
like
you come to me, I'm going. Hey there, kids, and I'm here to say.
Exactly. It totally is. And by the way, I want to make sure that it's clear that Chris Kattan wasn't singing on this. I don't know what the hell just came out of my mouth.
It sounded like Granny from Looney Tunes.
That was my understanding, is Crypt Keeper is Granny from Looney Tunes.
She's just the corpse of Granny from Looney Tunes.
Secrets out, everybody. You heard it here first.
Now we can tell the rest. I wanted to play that for you, but I won't be able to. But I encourage you to look up the Crypt Keeper rap.
There's a Freddy Krueger rap, too.
That one I understand.
You do?
Well, in the sense... I know. Hold on. Wait. Let's bring that back a second.
Seriously. What, do you think you got that tattoo on his chest?
Yeah. Get ready for Freddy. Which is the name of the rap. But that was... That was, like, a part of the soundtrack to one of the movies. I want to say it was... Hold on. Dream Child?
Dream Warriors?
No, it was after that. Because Dream Warriors was 3. Anyway, we don't have to test my knowledge of the Nightmare on Elm Street series. But yeah, I mean, they needed something to play over the credits, and so of course rap is big and it's fun, that sort of thing. And it's very easy to sell. Like the Bartman sold incredible amounts of copies.
Sure.
So yeah, make a rap.
Bad rap is easy to sell to people who don't understand rap.
Right. And novelty songs are very easy to sell because
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yes.
Leprechaun in the Hood has He, Warwick Davis raps at the end of that movie. Ugh. Over the credits.
Oh, God.
Unlistenable is a word that comes to mind.
Webster's defines it as Leprechaun in the Hood. But yeah, you know, those sort of make sense because, you know, like I said, they're rolling over the credits. But Tales from the Crypt, nobody asked for it. There was no audience for it. And they just decided to throw it at the end of, like, because it's the soundtrack to Tales from the Crypt. So it's really just like a Danny Elfman score CD. And then you throw a rap at the end of it, like the final track, it's for nobody.
You know, I think he just made me realize something, is that I'll bet that there is probably one person who owns Tales from the Crypt who is just like he's the biggest believer in it.
Okay.
And he has just been this driving force to like get all this stuff made because... Who watched it? It was terrible.
It stunk.
It was awful. And they made movies. They got movies produced from that stuff. They got a show on HBO, which most people would kill for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And not only that, but everyone is in Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Like, the show, like, there are so many people, like, soon-to-be-famous people, or currently famous people at the time, that are in Tales from the Crypt. Like, you'll watch those other episodes and go, oh, what?
Yeah.
Like... Yeah, I mentioned this before, but there is an episode with Egg Begley Jr. And Tim Curry.
Yes.
Where Tim Curry plays an entire family of like inbred hicks that kill traveling salesmen.
God. Yeah.
All I will say is that the end of this episode features a just wedded sex scene between Egg Begley Jr. and Tim Curry dressed as the ugliest woman in history.
Yeah.
And it is, you can't unsee that.
No.
You can't unsee it. It is at the same time both horrifying and extremely funny.
It's graphic.
Because you have to almost laugh to keep him crying.
Yes, you really
like,
do.
Oh, what? I remember that's what I did. Like when I was watching, I was like I saw it coming. Let it go. I saw it coming. I was like, oh no. And I remember standing up going, okay. Why?
In a weird way, I feel like I've gained respect for that whole series because it would have been so easy to pull the plug after any one of those episodes from one to, 2048 or however many episodes there were.
More people were in Tales from the Crypt than have ever played in the NFL. Like, it's really like, we can stop making these guys. No? Let's keep going.
There had to have been somebody there, like, just driving that thing. And if that's the case, like, wow. Amazing.
I get the appeal of it.
I get the supposed appeal of it.
Well, the sort of late night, horror anthology, like that's a really fun idea.
Yeah, it's easier to sell than watch, though.
It is. It really is. And especially like when you put it on HBO, it's like, hey, we don't have to worry about swearing or nudity. Like, So I get the idea behind it, but it just stunk. The execution was so horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in some episodes they weren't as much scary as they were trying to be like low rent Twilight Zone. Trying to be like. Ooh, creepy, less scary, like less frightening, more creepy, like the Twilight Zone. And those are the episodes that you're just like, please,
yeah,
change the channel. Bad news.
By the way, real quick, this just in: the Halloween shows
that
I will be doing with Master Pancake. The first weekend will be at Lake Creek,
okay,
and then the second weekend will be at South Lamar.
Is that did John text you?
Yes.
Oh, okay, man.
I'm glad he corrected me.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. I have to, like, scan my mind right now to be like, do we say anything that would upset John? We didn't. I hope he's fine. By the way, congratulations, Master Pancake, for fourth year in a row.
Four-peat.
The Austin Chronicles Best Of named them Best Comedy Troupe. Comedian or comedy. It's a weird.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Comedian or comedy troupe, is it just comedy troupe? I think it's just comedy troupe.
No, it's comedian or comedy troupe.
Wow, yeah. Really?
And so that's weird that they would bunch it all together, but that just makes the competition that much more fierce.
Heated.
Yeah. So congratulations, Master Pancake, 4 years in a row. That's
thank
really
you.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, no, I'm not to you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank John when you see him.
Hey, reply on that text, thank you, from the people in the studio.
Yes.
I will.
Oh, totally, yeah.
John Erler, the amazing John Erler, yes. I think is hands down the person getting that done. He is doing a really great job of making sure that people vote and getting the ballot out there and spreading the word. He's doing a good job.
He's on his grind. He really is. And he earned every bit of that. Mm-hmm. We've got a few minutes before we have to turn the show over to Clear Spot. I wanted to get a couple things out of the way because I wasn't here last week. So I missed like the biggest news week in a while. So just real quick, I want to get your thoughts on, first of all, The Simpsons aren't canceled. They were canceled for a little while, but now they're not. They're bringing them back for two more seasons. By the time they'll be done, they'll have over 550 episodes, something like that. And I think they're going to season 25 and that's it. What do you guys think about that?
We're probably going to differ on this. It's going to be a real crossfire over here.
Maybe not. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. I feel like they should have put The Simpsons to bed about, 10 years ago?
Okay.
Matt Groening shift gears and just say The Simpsons. Simpsons is, after 20 seasons or something. Or it wasn't that many. It was...
No, it's that many.
Oh, yeah.
No, but in 2000.
Oh,
in 2000. No.
But basically shift from that and let all that energy and creativity go into Futurama.
Right.
And then give Futurama its fair shake. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's fair shake. And then they should have just, put their attention into that. Because I watched it for a while after that, and I know it's still good. It's still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't watched it in years. I can't imagine what they have left to say.
Yeah. Andrew?
Oh, no. I am of the mind, will occasionally, because The Simpsons is my favorite TV program ever.
Yes. Yeah.
Which you both know.
We do know that.
You do know well. But that being said, so you know, I'm of the old guard. Like I like seasons 3 through 8. Like,
sure.
I don't believe there's a bad episode in that stretch. I think that's pretty flawless.
I think you're right.
But then around like seasons 9, 10, 11, I fell off because it wasn't funny anymore. Mm-hmm. Like the episode, the good episodes got few and farther between, and so occasionally now, like I'll watch the new episodes, you know, one episode here or there, and I, you know, maybe crack a smile here and there, but it's like rather than like sort of commentating, you know, making commentary on pop culture, it has become the pop culture that it's commentating on. So it just doesn't work for me. So like the news that they were canceled, I almost breathed a sigh of relief. I'm gonna be honest with you, when it like the final episode of that show when it does air. Probably going to be a little misty.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Sure. Because I don't think my sense of humor would be completely different if it was not for that show.
I guess I'm almost a little disappointed in them that it wasn't their decision.
Uh-huh.
Like, at what point do you call it after 25 years?
Well, that's the thing that sort of drives me nuts about the way this whole thing went down was that, as far as a lot of people are concerned, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people thought The Simpsons went off the air a few years ago. Because nobody really watches it anymore. I still watch it every week. Just because I feel like I owe it to them. And
thank you for all these years of entertainment.
Right, exactly, yeah. And even after, you know, even it's not as good as it was and it never will be, but I still find it as entertaining as, like, a Modern Family, but that's just my personal taste, that sort of thing. So it's not terrible. I'm not like, oh, why am I doing this?
Yeah, and that's kind of...
It was really bad for a while.
Oh, it totally was.
There was, I think, about a 4 or 5 year stretch where it was just
unwatchable. 2 seasons ago. Yeah.
Well, but those were the Futurama years.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I was going to say when you made that comment there. There was a time, like back when Futurama got started, I was laughing out loud at Futurama and like shrugging The Simpsons, which I thought was crazy, but it was like, it was so clear that they had a great thing with Futurama. Not only that, but that's like a show, and I've said this before, but Futurama is like a show like The X-Files, where it's so high concept, they basically write themselves a blank check for whatever they can do.
Yeah. Because
you have a universe to play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you know, with fantastic elements, and you can go as wide as you want, or you can keep it as simple as Fry and Leela.
Yeah.
That is amazing when you have that much flexibility to work. I totally agree that they should have pumped their effort into future.
I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to put a bow on this.
Sure.
Going back to The Simpsons, the thing that bothers me about the situation now is that there was this outcry from people who used to love The Simpsons, and now that they got their wish, like there's going to be more episodes of The Simpsons for them to watch, but those are going to be more episodes for them to criticize, and that's going to drive me nuts.
Yeah. When people should absolutely.
They should have just let this die, as much as we all love it, but now they prolonged the stay of execution. And now they're going to hate it for 2 more years. That drives me nuts. I have to take a quick break. I'm so sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's okay.
Let's play some announcements, and we'll be right back with the wrap-up. Guys, I'm really sorry. We have way too much show. I wanted to talk about, like, 5 other things, but I couldn't get to them. But real quick, thank you very much, Joe Parsons.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you very much, Andrew Rosas.
Oh, of course.
I didn't get to talk about the record. Shoot. Shining.
I'll come back. We can talk about it, maybe.
Yeah, Come Shining is the record. Ghostward is the band. That is available places.
Online, iTunes, Waterloo Records, all over the place.
So good stuff. Thanks, guys. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows, and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us, mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, @MascotWedding. I forget who we're going out with. Well, let's just play it. we'll catch you up when it's good and ready. All right. Mac will be back next week. I will be back next week. Goodbye, Austin.